This is Curse of the Marketer, and I'm Brady Sadler. This is my work in progress podcast where I'm doing two things, trying to bubble up ideas that will hopefully inspire you to go out and maybe do that thing that you've been putting off or just approach your work or your art in a little bit of a different way. And secondarily, I am exploring what might become a more produced podcast that would be perhaps scripted and more of a true narrative with some different angles that play out in a more formal setting. In the meantime, I thought it'd be fun to do that through this format so that I can get feedback and build some momentum. We've been investigating the idea of perhaps asking each guest to talk about one value, belief, or strategy that has served them really well. And today I'm talking to my friend Dan Radin. I've known Dan since I was a little kid, literally 4 or 5 years old. Our fathers would take us to Yankee Stadium together growing up. And Dan went on to study music at Berkeley and then worked for 15 years in the corporate world, doing everything from product marketing to product management to copywriting, and he's had a really interesting career. But recently he's taken a new turn and he's into his own startup and podcast, and we're going to talk to him about that.
Brady, can you hear me?
I can. Hey Dan, how you doing?
Hey, very good. Are we recording?
We are recording, yes. Thanks for making the time.
Outstanding. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So I mentioned at the top, we've known each other for a long time and have followed each other's careers. We see each other in passing on the beach in our hometown. And I've always admired the work that you were doing and the bits and pieces that I saw. You've had such an interesting career working across different aspects of music, technology, product development. And now you're on to the next chapter, and I wanted to hear more about that, talk a little bit about your podcast, and then get your take on a few things that we've been working on here on this podcast.
Hey, well, thank you so much. I really appreciate all the kind words, and likewise, I've always thought you've had a very interesting and career that has followed your passion, and you've been able to bring your passion to everything that you've done. So, the feeling is mutual. So as you mentioned, I spent the last 15 years in music products, in marketing and product development. And I got to the point where I felt like I'd gone to grad school and I did an MBA in entrepreneurial organizations, thinking that I wanted to get a little bit more expertise in all different facets of running a business, because I originally had gone to Berkeley. I got a music business degree, which to me didn't really feel like a real business degree. So I felt like getting the graduate education would make me feel a little bit more legitimate in starting a business of my own. Before I struck out on my own, I got an opportunity to work for one of the world's largest audio technology companies called Harman, which people know as Harman Kardon, JBL, and about 35 other brands. And I had never worked for a large company before, so I really learned a lot in working for a US publicly traded company, which then was subsequently acquired by Samsung. So got the opportunity to work for a publicly traded company in the US that was enormous at $8 billion. And then it itself became the smallest business unit of one of the world's largest companies in Samsung. And I learned a ton about process and about how you raise money for things in a large organization like that. And I felt like near the end of that, it was time for me to move on. It was time for me to do something of my own. So I'm really, really excited to be building something of my own for the first time, really. While I've built things in other people's organizations, it felt like it was time to really do it for myself.
It's great. Well, I admire you for making that leap. And I know that you have a pretty big vision, even though you're starting small, and you hope to really change the way that people find and acquire musical instruments. So tell us a little bit about that and the fact that you've started with a podcast. I think it's really interesting as a medium to kind of get a conversation going while you build the other pieces of it.
Yeah, thank you. Well, the podcast for me was a couple of things. One was I felt like I wanted to build my personal brand since I had been out of the music instruments industry for about 15 years. I started working for Zildjian, the world's largest cymbal company, and stepped away, worked in technology, worked in gaming headsets, worked in consumer electronics. And coming back, I wanted to reestablish my credibility. While I have lots of contacts within the industry, I wanted people to know my name a little bit more. So I felt like having some conversations with musicians, with record producers, with people who make the gear, and having my name out front would help me rebuild my credibility within the industry. And another part of that is, I think this is something that you and I have had conversations about in the past. I believe that brand's value is weaker than it has been in your and my lifetime. I think that individuals are increasing in their brand valuability, if that's a word. I think I just invented a word. So I wanted to make sure that my brand was what I wanted it to be as opposed to what people assumed it to be. So I wanted to have a little bit more of a hands-on approach to branding myself. And I felt like this was a way that felt authentic to me. I hate myself on video. I hate watching my videos at trade shows demonstrating products. But I do enjoy talking. I've always liked audio. I'm decent at editing it. I'm getting better every episode I do. So this felt like a natural way for me to build my network and build my brand. As far as what I'm doing outside of the podcast, as you mentioned, I took a look when I wanted to come back to musical instruments. And I'm a drummer. I've been playing for almost 25 years. I just did the math a couple of days ago, and it kind of shocked me. And my natural position, having spent the last 8 years as a product developer, was, oh, well, I'll just create some products and I'll create a drum brand and this will be what I'll do. And as I looked around the industry, I just saw there are so many brands and so many products. The problem that I think drummers face is not the right product being available, but a very difficult product discovery path. I think that as retail in all sectors continues to collapse, we rely more and more on e-commerce. And what I saw in the musical instruments industry is e-commerce that is not very maturely done. It's e-commerce that is pretty much a giant listing or a giant catalog of products. And it's very difficult to compare, to refine selections between different products. So I'm working with some super smart technologists, recording engineers, software developers, to create a better way to discover musical instruments. And it's something that's going to use artificial intelligence, machine learning, natural language programming. So rather than having to program a computer like you're a scientist on the space shuttle, you'll just talk to the website and it will know the sonic characteristics of different instruments and be able to give you recommendations based on the artificial intelligence and the machine learning that underlies the whole thing. You as a consumer won't see any of this. You'll just say, I play in a hard rock band and I'm looking for a really bright, aggressive snare drum. And it's going to say, great, who are your three favorite drummers? And you'll tell it John Bonham and Bill Ward and Chad Smith. And it will say, great, here are the three recommended snare drums that you should check out. So I think a much different discovery experience than what we currently offer musicians, as opposed to the Amazon shopping experience, much more of a guided, personalized, curated experience is what I'm aiming at.
Well, I think it makes a lot of sense. And obviously, it's really timely, as you referenced, with Amazon and just the way that we consume information and products continues to change so rapidly. I'm super bullish on voice. And I think that that is a really interesting application for it. Where can people follow along, or if they have ideas or might be an appropriate partner or any other person who might be or interested in what you're up to? Where can they kind of find out and follow
along?
Great.
Well, yeah, thank you. The most active medium for me right now is the podcast, as we talked about. It's called Drum Showroom. The easiest way to get it is soundcloud.com/drumshowroom. It's also syndicated at iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play Podcasts. Or you can send me an email, dan@drumshowroom.com. I try to be pretty accessible. I have built a little sort of placeholder business card on the web page at drumshowroom.com, but the most active way to interact with me would either be email or the podcast.
Great. Well, I encourage everybody to check it out. I've enjoyed the interviews you've done so far, and I think
even if you're not a musician, if you're a marketer or you're a creative person in any regard, you're going to appreciate some of the things that come up in these conversations because they are universal. And I think they have interesting applications. Yesterday, I talked a little bit about the idea of looking to other industries than your own for inspiration. And I think you're really pulling out some interesting ideas from the folks that you're connecting with in and around music. So as you know, I've been playing with this idea that maybe I can ask each guest some similar questions and have identified values, beliefs, and strategies as some buckets to play with. And so I wanted to see if you had a value, a belief, or a strategy that's really helped you in your life, career, in general, that you could share with the folks listening.
Sure. Well, I didn't want to pull out Kotler or the standard textbooks because I feel like everybody can get the textbooks. The one thing I wanted to talk about was lifestyle design. This is something that had a profound impact on me. I'm a religious listener to Tim Ferriss's podcast, The Tim Ferriss Show. And in January of this year, he had a guest on call named Debbie Millman. And Debbie's a legendary designer in the CPG industry. And you can learn a lot about Debbie by looking at Tim's blog, tim.blog, and you can search Debbie Millman. But she did an episode in January where she shared an exercise that she teaches in her classes that was taught to her by her mentor, Milton Glaser, legendary marketer and designer. And it's called the 10-year plan for a remarkable life. This is something that had a really extreme impact and was to a large extent the impetus for me deciding to leave my corporate career, for my wife and me deciding not to buy a house after we've been looking for houses for 9 months and led us to travel for the last 6 months and really take an active approach to designing our lifestyle. So the 10-year plan for a remarkable life, you think to yourself, it's 2027, 10 years from now, today in 10 years, what does your day look like? Start from the minute you wake up, you brush your teeth, you have your coffee or your tea, and think about and write down all the way through that day, 10 years from now, until you get into bed at night, what is your day like? And think about what you're doing, what your priorities are, what you're scared of, what excites you. Do you have kids? How many kids do you have? What kind of house do you live in? Where do you live? What kind of clothes do you wear? What kind of furniture do you have? What kind of car do you drive? Do you have a car in 10 years? Do you have a boat? What do you do? You know, all of this kind of stuff, and create a really rich picture of what your life will be like in 10 years. And the thing that she said, what I wrote down in the podcast, was read it once a year, see what happens. It's magic. And I think that this is a common thread among a lot of the motivational speakers, the Tony Robbins, the Gary Vaynerchuks, those types of people that like to talk about create your manifesto, create your vision, document where you want to go, have a roadmap. This one for me really worked. And my wife and I both did this separately. We shared with each other and we figured out that there was a ton of overlap in our 10-year plans for our respective remarkable lives. So I cannot recommend this exercise more highly. I've recommended it to many friends, acquaintances. I texted it to my barber. It's something that I can honestly say changed my life and helped me actively create a lifestyle that I want to have. And I'm hoping that will lead me toward a career that's even more fulfilling than what I've done in the first 15 years of it.
Wow. That's great. What a perfect example. And I think I love that you gave something that people can then go find more information and really apply to their own life and do this exercise and see how it impacts them. And clearly it's had a great impact on you, and you're well on your way to meeting those 10-year goals. And I'm sure lots of things will change along the way, but you're being proactive. And I think you're right. When you kind of set an intention and you're a little bit more deliberate about what you're doing, as opposed to just kind of letting things unfold the way they unfold, it is pretty amazing how things happen. So Dan, thanks so much for making the time. There's so many other things I want to talk to you about. So we'll have to do part two of this again soon. But in the meantime, everybody go check out Drum Showroom. Dan Radin, thanks so much for the time.
Brady, thanks so much for having me. This is great. Love to have you back, and please come be a guest on my show.
Absolutely. Talk to you soon, Dan.
Thanks.
Bye.